Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you all here with us, joining us for episode 90 of the pod. Only 10 away from the big 100, Joey. Getting closer and closer. It is the second ever Jedi Knights of the Round Table today. As part of episode 90, we have some awesome guests here with us. We'll get to introduce to all of you here in a second. But before we get into the introductions, want to give you a quick reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout Podcast on YouTube, definitely check us out there for the video version of every podcast, as well as our reactions to all of the latest Star Wars shows when they do go live. Thank you to the 447 of you who are currently subscribed over there. Additionally, you can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. Additionally, the Hoth Hangout Podcast is findable wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We would appreciate it very much, and it does also allow the Hoth Hangout Podcast to be more easily discovered by other folks who love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials, whether it be at Instagram, TikTok, or X. You can find us at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. Additionally, the link to the Hoth Hangout Community Discord server is available down in the show notes of today's episode as well. Definitely check that out. All right, Joey, the time has arrived. It's our second ever Jedi Knights of the Round Table. We're super stoked to have two amazing guests with us today. But before we get to meet them, how are you doing, man?
Pretty good. We've been trying to organize this for a while. I'm glad we were able to get together with our guests to talk a little bit more Acolyte. I know we just finished the season. You and I have had our thoughts, the peaks and valleys of the Acolyte, I like to call them. So interested in hearing what our guests have to say about it as well. So yeah, I think we just jump right into it. What do you say?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, like you mentioned, we're going to be talking all things Acolyte today. That's our main topic of discussion. And as was previously stated, we do have two amazing guests with us today. So without further ado, let's go ahead and welcome in our two awesome folks we have. First of all, we want to welcome Laura Kelly, the co-host of the Force Toast podcast and the co-host of The Jedi Way on YouTube. Welcome into the Hoth Hangout Podcast. How you doing, Laura?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, you guys. This is great.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a blast. We're glad to have you here. Going to have some good conversations, particularly about the High Republic era. And I know that's kind of a particular interest era for you. Isn't that right?
It is, for sure. I'm a massive High Republic fan.
Okay, awesome. Joey and I are admittedly, we've started to delve into that area, but we're admittedly still working our way up to being completely knowledgeable on the area. So we're glad to have you here with us, Laura. Thanks for joining once again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, yeah. Additionally, we have Danny Fandoms here with us. You can find him at Danny Fandoms on both Instagram and YouTube. And you can also find him breaking down franchises for Hidden Details and traveling on fandom adventures to Disney and beyond. Danny, welcome into the Hoth Hangout Podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Welcome in. And I do have to ask before we begin, are you a fan of Nickelodeon, judging by the username?
I don't know what you're talking about. I really don't.
One of my favorite shows as a kid. Yeah.
Yes, I am. And I got Danny Phantom when that show was actually popular, people would call me that even. And so I just thought, yeah, you know, Mike, make for a fun username.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Danny and Laura, it's great to have the both of you here. And we're excited to have a fun discussion about the Acolyte and kind of all the aspects that are encompassing of the show. Obviously, kind of the discourse around the show was somewhat negative. And so we kind of want to explore what your thoughts were on it as creators, Star Wars content creators, and get your thoughts on the show now that we've seen all of it in its entirety, at least the first season, if we end up getting more of the show. So to begin our discussion today, we wanted to simply pose the question leading in, what are your overall thoughts on the first season of The Acolyte? Where does it rank amongst the current Disney Plus Star Wars live action series? Laura, we'll start with you. What were your overall thoughts now that we've seen the first season? If we end up getting more, How did you feel about the show as a whole?
You know, I'm pretty neutral on it at this point. There were 8 episodes. There were 4 that I liked, 2 that I liked more than the others. So I think in terms of all of the Star Wars live action series that we've gotten, it's unfortunately near the bottom for me. Some of the storytelling and pacing just kind of didn't add up for me, unfortunately. And I was really looking forward to the show. As I said, I am a massive High Republic fan. But this is, I think, a pretty different era than where we are in the High Republic novels, in both phases 1 and 3 and phase 2, which is 100 years before that. So I had certain expectations going into it of what this show would be, and it just didn't really stack up to that for me. I really wanted to love it. I really want to, like, defend it from all of the, like, review bombing that this show has gone through. Unfortunately, it just was one of those things where this show was for some people, and I'm glad that there's a gigantic amount of enthusiasm for it that I've seen on my feed. Unfortunately, this one just wasn't for me. I like a lot of the Star Wars live action stuff. I really enjoyed Ahsoka. I think the Obi-Wan show was actually my favorite of all the live action stuff we've gotten so far. And I was hoping that this would maybe take that top spot, but maybe season 2 will get me if we get another one. My fingers are crossed for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, judging from the end of the season, I was a little bit surprised. I think once we got to episode 6 maybe or 7, I felt, oh, okay, we are headed towards a season 2 here. I don't know if I was even really sure if that was the direction we were headed with or not. But I did want to also follow up with you on the High Republic piece of it. How did you feel about the depiction, especially of Vernestra Rowe as a character? Because I know that's someone who, you know, has a special place within this High Republic mythos of that particular Star Wars era.
Yeah, I know that's been a point of contention for a lot of High Republic fans, for the readers. I've read almost everything in the High Republic. I think I've read almost everything that she's been in. I like Vernestra as a character. I don't love her. I'm not obsessed with her. Like, she's not the reason that I go back to the High Republic over and over again. There are different characters for that. So I was excited that she was going to be in this, and hearing those words in that first episode of Jedi Master Vernestra Rowe was a really cool moment, actually. As much as I actually really kind of wasn't a fan of the premiere, that part was really cool, especially seeing it in theaters with a bunch of other Star Wars fans. We were really lucky here in Chicago to get to go see the first 2 episodes the day before they actually came out. So that was really fun. But yeah, for the most part with Vernestra, all I could kind of think the entire time was how I am not the same person that I was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. I can imagine 100 years in the future, I would be a very different person. So I try not to hold this older version of her against the younger version. I can totally understand how she'd be in a very different position, in a very different headspace. It seems like she's been through a lot of stuff in the last 100 years. So I understand why she's a different person. I think in some ways I understand a lot of why she did what she did in the finale of season 1. So I do fault her for it in the same way that I fault the Jedi Order in general for a lot of what has gone down in this season overall. But yeah, I don't know if I'm holding it against her as much as a lot of the other High Republic fans, or I don't think that they did her as dirty as a lot of the High Republic fans seem to think that this show did, though I admittedly do understand why they think that.
Yeah, and as someone who has had that little taste of Vernestra Rowe, I guess I'm not as familiar with the differences in her characters between how we saw her in The Acolyte and how she might be depicted in some of the earlier stuff, but is it more of like a cynical view on the Jedi Order in the current how she is in The Acolyte, or what is that difference? How do you make that distinction?
I think that she has witnessed a lot of systemic problems in the Jedi Order over the course of 100 years. And I imagine as, you know, maybe in her early years as an official Jedi Knight, and even those early years on the Council, or early years as a Master, that she maybe tried to fight against some of those systemic problems. And over the course of 100 years, that just kind of weighs you down. I can totally understand how that might happen. I feel like it happens to a lot of people given the political climate of the world right now, not just in America, but probably in a lot of places around the world. So I, in a lot of ways, I kind of get it in terms of how she got from where she is in the books as an younger idealist, more idealistic, not necessarily idealistic, but more so than she is by the time we get to the era of the Acolyte.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Kind of that weighing on her over time, perhaps, in some sense. But, well, Danny, and I want to turn things to you as well. How did you feel about The Acolyte overall as a show? What were your general takeaways after getting to watch the first season of it?
Yeah, so for The Acolyte, I really enjoyed this season. And I do hope that we get a season two of this show. I really enjoyed seeing this different era of Star Wars being a little bit more versed in the High Republic. I've read through phase one, and I'm right now in the middle of phase two. And I just like seeing the kind of obvious differences between the Jedi of this time and then the Jedi of the prequel era. One thing I like that I joke with some people about is how many times in Clone Wars do we see, you know, there's this mission, there's this trouble happening on the planet, who are we going to send? Anakin, Ahsoka, or Obi-Wan, or some combination of the three of them. And, like, that's pretty much it. Maybe, you know, you get some adventures with Plo Koon or some other Jedi, but here in the High Republic era, you see how they send whole teams of Jedi to Kel Naka's outpost where he was, where in the flashbacks where they were on Brendak, and I love seeing that camaraderie and teamwork among the Jedi, also in the High Republic books with all that stuff with Avar Chris and how they work together, really use the Force as that binder to all of them to complete their missions. And that got me really excited. And it's something that I really liked in this show as well.
Mm, absolutely. Did you have a particular favorite episode of the show?
Oh, that's going to be either episode five or the finale, because we just got some really awesome lightsaber action. And I love, like, lightsabers are just some of my favorite parts of Star Wars. I have a small collection. I'm always looking for more, but I think they did some really awesome choreography. And they use, again, they just use more of the Force. Even Soul did this kind of Force repulse that is something that you kind of see in the Force Unleashed video game, which all this stuff, all the wire work, I just thought it was really, really awesome.
Yeah, some of the lightsaber fights, I'm admittedly kind of that is how I see myself as a Star Wars fan too. That's what made me love it when I first saw it. I tell Joey this all the time. I'll share this with the both of you. My first introduction to Star Wars, I am somewhat embarrassed to say, was Attack of the Clones back in 2002. So every time Joey and I talk about that, I'm like, the thing that first drew me in was Yoda doing all these flips around on the screen. And so it was kind of cool for me to see, especially in episode eight, the fight between Soul and the Stranger. I was like, oh, okay, this is like, that was my favorite part of the show personally. So I'm with you on there, on that one, Danny.
we're simple people. We
yeah, like exactly.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. Yeah, we can move on to the next question here. I mean, we're, you know, kind of still talking about the High Republic, obviously, with this being the first outside of the books, you know, first representation of in live action, whether it be movies or within the TV shows. Obviously, this is the first thing. How do you think it did, you know, overall? Obviously, you know, we know how, you know, you thought of, like, just kind of the season overall. Did it do the High Republic justice? Do you think that this is something, because I know, you know, kind of what Laura was saying earlier, there is a huge fandom of people that of people who just love the High Republic from the books. Unfortunately, as Ben had mentioned, we're just kind of just dipping our toe in it. We know there's a ton of stuff that we need to get into. But Danny, we'll start with you. Did you think that this was a good representation of, you know, I know we only had, you know, Vernestra Rowe as far as the characters are concerned, but do you think that they did a good job representing the really the excitement that the fans have had going into this series?
Well, I was thinking about this while watching it and even just going into the season. And I think it's kind of hard to say, like, exactly what would represent the High Republic as it is, because you start off with the Phase One books that are, you know, 200 years before the prequel era. And then you go into Phase Two books that are even 150 years before that. So that's generations of High Republic. Can you really say that those two are the same? And I'm not finished through Phase Two, like I said, but I think there you do see a little bit of difference there. And then now with the Acolyte, where I know we kind of say that's 100 years before, but if we're going to get technical, the opening text says that it's 100 years before the Empire, so it's more like 80 years before the prequel generation. So we're actually more seeing the downward slope of the Jedi and then into their demise in the prequel era. So I think seeing that, I guess that balance, the Jedi at their peak, but then also on the decline, I think it did a good job of that. Because again, we do see the Jedi a lot more with that camaraderie and teamwork. We see them have all these outposts that they go to. We see them have a much bigger presence in the galaxy, whereas in the prequel era, they're kind of just holed up on Coruscant. Everything goes through the council. You know, send one or two Jedi on missions with some clones. And then, of course, all comes together with Yoda and oh my gosh, Mace Windu talking about their lack of connection to the Force at that time. So, again, I think it represented that era of that kind of passage of time really well.
Well, thanks, Danny, for that. Laura, what are your thoughts? I know, like Danny said, it is just a very large amount of time, and you've kind of mentioned it as well. But, you know, you especially, you know, coming from, you know, being a very big fan of the High Republic, you know, what did you think that this do a good job being the first live action show that is that regards the High Republic?
You know, I think that this show set out to connect more to the prequels than it did to the books. I think they saw that there was a time period in between what's happening in publishing in the High Republic and the prequels, and they were like, let's just set it there and let's just call that the High Republic too. Beyond that and the gold robes, there's not a ton of connections, I think, to what's happening in the High Republic, at least in the era that the novels of Phase 1 and 3 are set in. It just feels like a very different era because those Phase 1 and 3 books are set during what is essentially wartime in those novels. The conflict against the Nile is really, it's like really united the Republic and the Jedi Order so far in what has been like a mostly productive and successful way. So this tension between the Republic and the Jedi that we're getting in the Acolyte is just not really a thing in the novels, but obviously it's very much a thing in the prequels. So that's kind of where I come from on it. I guess I had anticipated that it would be trying to connect more with the novels, but I think it's really, I don't think it even set out to really do that. I think it's set out more to connect to the prequels, and in that, I think you could argue that it is successful. It is successful.
Right. And I think to what Danny was saying earlier, that makes it interesting is that you kind of see the fall of the Jedi here. That was a big topic, as you all know, that people were not liking to see that Jedi can make mistakes or just do not make the right choices. And I think that is a big reason why, well, I don't know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You know, some people, seems like they already had their thoughts about the show ever before a single episode came out. I think I remember, Ben, that when the trailer came out, you and I were very excited about it, but everyone was already giving the, you know, bad reviews. Do you remember that, Ben?
It was odd. It was like you and I watched it together for the first time, the trailer. Our immediate thought was, wow, this is going to be really cool. And then we checked back like 24 hours later and the video had like a 80% dislike ratio or something. And we were kind of like scratching our heads like, what? Are people really not excited about this? So, right.
That was crazy. I mean, Laura and Danny, real quick. Laura, what did you think when you saw the trailer, when we first saw the trailer?
Oh, I was really excited. I was so pumped when the trailer came out, especially when they included things like, you know, just little flashes of the Jedi Vector that we see in episode 1 or 2. Like that kind of stuff was really cool. Seeing Vernestra, like the idea of potentially seeing a light whip in action, all of that stuff got me really pumped for it.
Yeah, and Danny, what about you?
Yeah, totally same. I thought that trailer did a really good job of showing the things that would get people excited. You get a little glimpse of our main villain. You get all the Jedi igniting their lightsabers. You get things that reference the High Republic era. So I really enjoyed the trailer.
I think before we move on to our next question, back to what you were saying earlier, Laura, about kind of this era that they've chose, the way they chose to depict the High Republic for the first time in live action, and how it feels more prequel than it actually does High Republic. I think I definitely feel that too. And also at the same time, do you think it might take fans who are not familiar with the High Republic, like Joey and myself, for example, I would say are examples of this, and kind of, you know, lead us into a world of reading some of the novels and the comics? Because as much as it may have felt like the prequels, I don't know, it's made me want to go out of my way and, like, you know, look for some of these comics and you know, read more about it's Light of the Jedi, right? And Quest of the Jedi and Trials of the Jedi. So I personally have had a sparked interest. Do you feel like that could be a part of this as well?
Well, I'm actually really happy to hear that, because my instinct would have been to say no to that answer. Oh, okay, I didn't think
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I like was watching this, but it's hard for me to see it from that point of view, right? So when I watch this, I'm kind of like, I don't know why this would actually point anyone towards those books, to be honest. It just seems like they're so separate and so different. But that makes me really happy to hear that, because before this show came out, I remember telling people, like, you know, the number of Star Wars fans who read the books and comics, it's a small subset of the fandom. And I love the idea of welcoming more people into that and seeing more people get excited about these books and comics that I am so endlessly excited about. I was really pumped for that. And I wouldn't have thought that it would have that effect after having watched the series. So that's really actually encouraging to me to hear that it has actually ignited a sort of interest in you.
Yeah, especially the character of Vernesta Rowe, kind of like just wanting to learn more about her and maybe how she was different in some of the depictions in the novels and the comics. But I would assume that once Joey and I become even more acquainted with the literature of the High Republic era, we'll probably be looking at the Acolyte having those same feelings too. Like, ooh, I don't know if this actually does bring, you know, maybe it's like because you're familiar with it that you know, I don't know, that it makes you hesitant to think that it would make people want to be introduced to the High Republic era if it is more of a prequel depiction in the Acolyte. But yeah, I would say I'm feeling more excited about reading some of the novels. Joey and I have been talking about, actually, we've done one High Republic comic review, but we've wanted to do like a full High Republic book review at some point in the near future. Do either of you, Danny or Laura, have a recommendation? I know, Danny, you said that you're about a little ways into the second phase. Do you have a recommendation? I mean, I assume the obvious recommendation would be just to start from the beginning, but a particular High Republic piece of work that you found along the way to be the most, I don't know, awe-inspiring, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, I think, and I'm blanking on titles now, but yeah, Light of the Jedi for sure, because I think that one, at least for me, and I did not consider myself much of a reader for the longest time until I started getting into more and more Star Wars books, but Light of the Jedi just kicks off this era in such a cool way, introducing all these characters, getting you to really care for them, understand them, and then going all the way to Fallen Star, which definitely has mixed shots off in different ways, I think. Without spoiling anything, I'll say that, but yeah, the beginning and end of that phase one were really great moments of the High Republic. For me, that really got me excited. And then right now, I'm really enjoying Path of Deceit, which is the first phase two novel. Again, not finished with it, but really loving the characters and the story so far.
Awesome. Path of Deceit. Laura, as someone who has consumed basically all of the High Republic era in its entirety, was there one that particularly stood out to you?
That's really hard to answer. I mean, Light of the Jedi is fantastic, and that's definitely the place to start. I think anybody who wants to tackle the full list or find a place to start to tackle, I would just always recommend to go in release order, even though it does sort of seem backwards in the timeline, where phase one is set and then phase two is 100 years before that, and then phase three, we're jumping back to where we were in phase one. It's a lot to kind of wrap your mind around, but sticking with release order, I think, is the way to go. Light of the Jedi is really, really strong. I'm not really a comics person in general. I tend to, when it comes to Star Wars comics, there's just so many of them that I think you really have to pick and choose if you want to dive in and where you want to dive in. But the High Republic, the main run of Phase One, was one of those things that just made me really fall in love with the medium. So I feel very lucky in that respect, in that it really kind of sucked me in to a world that I hadn't really explored much of in terms of Star Wars storytelling. So I really enjoyed those. And then I mean, all of the adult novels, I think, have been really strong in each phase. I know that with Fallen Star, the end of Phase One, it's just an absolutely action-packed ending, and it feels very like disaster film in terms of, I mean, just everything about that book. It's so well done. So definitely recommend like getting through Phase One, and if that really does suck you in, like, congratulations, you're hooked now.
Joey and I were joking before the podcast that one of our last segments we usually do each week is a on next week's episode, and that we had a TBD in place for this week's episode. I think we might have perhaps filled in our TBD, Joey. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, as long as we could read any of these books at, what was it, 2.25 speed?
I do.
That's what you had it at? Yeah.
I do my audiobooks on like ridiculously wow. fast speed. So
yeah, we were on a little bit of a deadline, and Ben read Plagueis in about, I don't know, 8 hours or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, but hey, I'll do a 1.5 speed for the High Republic. That way I can like feel like I can fully absorb it in a way that doesn't feel like it's just rushing past my head as it goes into my ears. But turning our attention back to the Acolyte, one of the more perhaps surprising moments of the entire show was in the final episode when the Stranger and Osha are leaving the planet to go and find May and Sol. We see this glimpse into a cave of a mysterious hooded figure who is presumed to be Darth Plagueis. And so I think for a lot of fans, it was like, whoa, that just happened. So we were hoping to just kind of ask each of you, what are your general thoughts on the inclusion of Darth Plagueis in this show? I mean, what does that mean? Maybe for a season two, or really just for Star Wars as a whole. Laura, we'll start with you, and then Danny, we'll go to you second.
You know, I'm not a Star Wars Legends person, so I kind of didn't have any thoughts really on Plagueis. I feel like people who read that Legends novel, I was really excited for them. I had like secondhand excitement, to be honest. Especially my friend Kevin Smets, who does the Jedi Way with us. He is a massive Legends fan, and he is a really, really big Plagueis fan. He's been pushing that book at me for like years now, basically, and I still have not read it. I will get to it at some point. But I was excited for him. You know, I've been that fan where Star Wars will reference something that I absolutely love or some random deep cut that I really enjoy. And I know what that excitement feels like. So I was just really excited for the people who are excited about that.
I know the three of you recently did a review on the 8th episode, isn't that right? Well, I mean, what were his thoughts that he shared about the inclusion of Plagueis when the three of you got a chance to sit down and talk about it?
He was really pumped in that, like, the idea of bringing this character and that story in particular into canon, it apparently would not be too hard. I guess a lot of what happens in the novel, it kind of fits within canon right now anyway. So I think that just the opening of possibilities is what he was probably the most excited about of where we could go. And he definitely made a lot of like silly dad jokes and puns with it, which is always delightful. So it was, yeah, it's fun. It was a good time.
Nice. Danny, nice. How about you? When you, Joey's a big fan of the dad jokes, by the way.
I'm the dad Lovely. Joker of the crew here.
Got to meet your nice. Your two dad jokes per podcast quota, Joey.
I'm on it.
Yeah. Danny, how about you? When you saw Darth Plagueis appear on screen for the first time, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I'm kind of in the same boat where Legends was not really my bag, but I did start with reading Legends books when I was much younger and not much of a reader, but I never got around to Plagueis, but I always just being a Star Wars fan, I know his impact. He is the friend to Darth Sidious. He is Darth Plagueis the Wise. So a character that has that impact that you hear the story about and you finally get to see them in live action, that is what gets me so excited. And I think the Acolyte just did a lot of stuff. There's quite a few things that we saw for the first time in live action in this series that I really love. So seeing him peek out from behind that cave, I'm like, that's the guy from that cover of that book. Yes. But then a little cool little Easter egg there is how they actually play the music from the Opera House.
Yes.
When Palpatine's telling the tragedy of Dark Plagueis the Wise, I'm like, yes, that is just to confirm it to the fans. And even if you didn't catch it, just kind of really putting it out there. So I'm really excited for that, especially because I know in interviews I try to keep up with some of the stuff that they talk about behind the scenes of making these different shows, and how they had said that there would be at least two Sith characters. And I'm like, okay, this has got to be some sort of reveal. Is it going to be Darth Plagueis? Is it going to be Darth Tenebris? Is it going to be some other character new for this show? But seeing that it was Darth Plagueis, and I thought it just looked really cool, a really nice live action depiction of this character and this type of alien that he is, I loved it, really.
Yeah, and one thing that I really do love about Star Wars, particularly Star Wars fans, I'm not going to remember the soundtracks of every single, every single minute of any Star Wars movie or show. So I think actually, Ben, we got a comment stating that same thing that Danny just said, that it was the same music from the Opera House with Anakin and what's that dude's name? Palpatine. Clearly, we're good at the trivia. So I think having that just really laying it on thick for the people who really can catch on those things. I think Laura kind of mentioned it as well, where there are those deep cuts that, maybe the not every single Star Wars fan is going to find. But when the Star Wars fans do find it, they're going to be like, oh, this is so great. I love that they added this into it just for us. So one thing I do always appreciate about Star Wars is kind of giving those little bit of Easter eggs. And I think Danny's a Easter egg finder from his site. I always look at your Instagrams to see, like, what did I miss? And, so I do appreciate that. So, yeah. Yeah, we can move on to the next thing here. Obviously we're talking, Acolyte, High Republic. What would you like to see next? I mean, yeah, we have the story of the Acolyte. Is there anything that you would want to see more from the High Republic? More from the Acolyte, what are you expecting from a season two? Anything kind of in general? What would you like to see? We can start with Danny here. What are your thoughts on that, Danny?
Yeah, so I think I might like to see, first of all, a bit of a time jump, just a little bit. And I want to see Osha just really more at the height of her power, now that she's kind of coming back to being trained in the Force and now being trained in the dark side of the Force. I would really love to see that. And then I just want to see more Plagueis. I want to see either if Pioneer is hiding Plagueis from Osha, and, kind of reporting to him on the side, and then she has to figure that out later that he's been working for someone else this whole time. I think that would be really cool. And then just on the other side of it, kind of a sad thing, but again, since we are heading toward the downfall and of the Jedi, and the Jedi just having not a big, as big of a presence in the galaxy, I kind of want to see like these decommissioning of Jedi temples and Jedi bases throughout. And I want to see how the Jedi go about that. It might be kind of disappointing. Might have that impact. But in the end, that's what's going to happen. And I do want to see how that impacts the characters that we've met.
Yeah, and I think that, this is the bridge, right? The Acolyte can be this bridge between High Republic and the Phantom Menace. And yeah, that is actually part of it. That downfall, we kind of see it because we know what happens to the Jedi. There's this little order thing that they didn't all make it out of. So, but I do have to say, it is nice to have a show where we don't see another point of view of Order 66. I kind of am like, thank God we finally went through an entire season without having to see that all happen once again. But yeah, Laura, what about you? What are your thoughts on, you know, anything for the future of the Acolyte or anything High Republic related in live action?
I mean, if you want to hear what I want from the High Republic novels and like what comes next, like I'm gonna need an hour for that list to go through all of that.
Ben Gibbo, we got another hour next week. Maybe that's our episode.
Oh, so many thoughts, especially where we are in phase three. Like, oh, we've got one more adult novel left, and then it's like gonna be over, and that is just devastating to think about. But in terms of the Acolyte, I mean, season two, I'm gonna need to see that light whip. Like, I'm sorry, what a waste! Like to swat a bug. To use it to swat a bug, and that's all we got out of it. I mean, like, you should read some of these descriptions in these novels of what it looks like seeing Vernestra wielding that thing. Like, it just sounds so cool, and we got nothing from that. So I would like more of that. I want to get that story of what happened between Vernestra and Chimere when he was her student. Like, did those lash marks on his back actually come from her? And if so, like, please tell me he really did something to deserve that. And even then, I'm questioning, like, how in the world could that be justified? I need that story. I need answers there in particular. But at the same time, I also, like, don't necessarily need a season two of the show. If they end it there and we don't get any more, I'm not going to go screaming about renewing it using some hashtag on the internet. There's a lot of Star Wars content that we have gotten in the last couple of years that is just not making any money for Disney. So I feel like we've heard a lot about them wanting to cut back and focus on getting films into theaters so that they can start bringing in money. And I that's kind of what I'm anticipating. I'm not necessarily counting on getting a season two of this show, unfortunately. But if it does, I will be happily and cautiously optimistic.
Nice. So real quick, I think I know Laura's answer, but you know, we'll start with you, Laura. How many more seasons do you think the Acolyte will actually go? Let's say it's greenlit for a second season. If to tell this story, whatever the story is, how many seasons do you think it'll take?
I feel like they've talked about doing at least two more. So if that's the way it goes, then sure. I would like to think that we will maybe get it eventually. Like, it just might be one of those situations where, like many of the prestige TV that we're getting right now, it takes 3 years or something to get the next season. It no longer surprises me when that announcement comes out. I don't like it, but the fact that it takes this long, but for 8 episodes that are not an hour long, like, some, please explain. I don't understand. But that, yeah, I would guess that they could at least probably milk this story for at least another 2 or 3 seasons, potentially. I don't know if I need that personally, but I have a feeling that that's what they're shooting for.
All right, Danny, what do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know how they necessarily even decide what gets a second season. Obviously, it's going to come to what is good for the company. But yeah, I would love to see a second season with more Plagueis. Maybe we get some more Yoda in the second season. But two or three, I think, is always like a good number to shoot for, just to close out the story. I mean, even Andor is only going for 2 seasons. Yeah, I think that would be fine because obviously it's there. I think there are times when certain series can go on for more, just development and story and character motivations have kind of fallen off. So I think if you just line it out, at that number, I think it'd be fine.
Right, yeah. So yeah, 4. So total of 3. I think that's kind of the consensus here, right? What do you think, Ben? How many seasons do you want?
Oh. It depends on how the story goes, I guess. I mean, if I feel like 3, I could see. I feel like I've read an article somewhere where Leslie Headland talked about 4 being her ideal scenario for number of seasons she would want to see. But I mean, like, I just read another article literally this morning that said she hasn't heard anything about a season 2. Like, she hasn't had a season 2 conversation with Disney execs to date. So, but me personally, I'd probably, I am always, and this might be an unpopular opinion, which actually kind of leads into our last question for the both of you. An unpopular opinion might be, even if a show is not the greatest, I'll probably always still take more of that show. That might be a hot take, but I just like the more Star Wars I can get, even if it's not amazing, I'll always be for that, I would say. So leading into our last question for the both of you, with that, in that same vein, it's not really a surprise that there was a sizable portion, I guess, of the Star Wars fandom that was not super high on the Acolyte as a show. We wanted to take the opportunity to ask the both of you, we'll start with you, Laura, and then move to you, Danny. How was your experience creating content during the last 2 months when there was just kind of a lot of, you know, negativity surrounding the outlook of the Acolyte as a show?
I mean, at least with the Jedi Way being on YouTube, that got really negative even before the show came out. I mean, we had some issues with that and with, like, you know, our comments and our excitement for the show that hadn't even come out yet. I mean, those getting taken by these negative content creators and basically just to, like, make fun of us for liking or being excited for the show. So, which was just a ridiculous thing. So I should have known that it was going to be tough, but it really was kind of tough. I tend to stay out of comment sections anyway. But even with my own show, I feel more compelled to just maybe not scroll through a lot of the comments. And we're lucky, at least with John Rocha's channel, where most of it is pretty positive, and most of the people who are watching our show are people who have regularly watched our show and know who we are and appreciate what we want to say. They're not just, like, coming there to review bomb us. So we have been lucky in that sense. But in terms of just, like, Twitter in general or their discussion in general, the show was kind of tough because, you know, the people who are really racist and bigoted, who were upset and vocal about how they thought this show sucked, those are not the people that I want. They're not the people I want to appeal to with my tweets. But I want to, you know, share my thoughts and participate in the conversation about this show. I just don't want, you know, all that nonsense that is Twitter and YouTube and the internet and comments, you know, to come down any more on me and my show than it already has. So it was kind of a balance to strike. Most of the time, if I was going to be talking about the show, I tried to, you know, be really sensitive about spoilers and just kind of keep my comments hidden behind an image, where I think that that actually helped filter out a lot of the negativity, because most of the people who saw those were people who follow me anyway. But yeah, it wasn't a really happy time to be a content creator who wants to be critical of this show and wants to be part of the conversation. But I don't want to, you know, appeal to that negative side of the fandom. But, it was a delicate balance to strike for sure. Frankly, I'm happy for the break that we're going to get between now and whatever the next, I guess, Skeleton Crew would be next later this year.
I definitely feel that too. Kind of, you know, in some ways looking forward to a break between this and whatever the next show is, if it is Skeleton Crew, kind of taking some of the temperature down from a lot of the conversations that have been happening within the community, especially from comments that are just like, you know, I mean, Joey and I, I think we had a comment that, you know, frequently every week was just like, you know, it was more or less like a copy paste, like, this show sucks and here's like a paragraph about why. I'm like, that doesn't, I mean, come on, you know. Danny, did you have any similar experiences with that sort of thing in creating content for the Acolyte during the last 2 months?
Yeah, I think on some channels more than others, but there's definitely some of that negativity, and like you just look at it and you gotta, how do I say this? I've seen people who they go through and they delete all the negative comments because, you know, it's bad for their mental health. They don't want to go through it. And I totally understand that. For me, it's just like, if you're going to tell me that this show is terrible and like that's your comment, it's like, I don't need to respond to you. I'm just going to keep scrolling, honestly. Now, if you have an actual something specific, we can get into the whole Ki-Adi Mundi's age thing and how supposedly that is also breaking canon about a CD-ROM that came out in 1999. Okay, if you consider that your Star Wars gospel, that's one thing. But I'm going to come back. I'm always going to keep it factual. And so, yes, he could be alive during this era. And so if you have, if people actually want to have a conversation about something else I pointed out in a video or, you know, where they think it might be going, I am all there for that. You want to say things that are just spewing negativity for the sake of negativity, that's, again, that's not the sort of people I would want to appeal to. And unfortunately, since I do Easter eggs, I can usually get more of that conversation of like, oh, you know, I didn't notice that, or does that mean that connects to this book or this other show? And I can keep those conversations going. And I think the more you feed the trolls, the more they're going to come. So the more you ignore them, I think at one point they'll be put in their place.
Right. And I think the, you know, my favorite one, I don't know if you guys have gotten this one, the, oh, how much is Disney paying you? And that's probably one of my favorite ones because I'll take some money. You know, I mean, if they're going to pay me to do some of this. you want to throw some money our way, Disney, Lucasfilms, please do. All right. Well, Laura, Danny, you know, I think this is our time here. We truly do appreciate everything for today. I'm just very excited to finally get our second Jedi Knights Roundtable. You're officially part of the Hoth Hangout now, and just very excited to finally get to talk to you guys and hopefully have you on at another point in our career here on the podcast. So if you wanted to start with Danny, if you wanted to let us know where our listeners, our viewers can find you on the internet.
Sorry, guys. Can you go to Laura first? There's something going on over there. I don't want it to interrupt us.
Oh, yeah, you're correct. Okay. All right, Laura, if you could let us know where our viewers and our listeners can find you on the internet.
Yeah, find me on Twitter. That is where I'm often talking about Star Wars. So my handle is @shutup_Laura. And yeah, that's, I pretty much almost exclusively talk about Star Wars. So find me there. I am on Instagram as well, that same handle. I just don't use it very much. And then the show that I host with my friend Alice is called Force Toast, a Star Wars Happy Hour. She and I just drink wine and talk about Star Wars. We often do recaps and we talk about what's in the news. And we always do a little bit of trivia. So that was sort of the foundation of our show. We used to both be really good at it. We're not so much anymore, but that actually kind of makes it more entertaining. So you can find that on all major podcast platforms. And then you can find me on YouTube on John Broca's YouTube channel on our show called The Jedi Way. It's me, John, and our friend Kevin Smets, where we sit and talk about Star Wars every 2 weeks or so. While The Acolyte was airing, we were doing shows every week, which is exhausting. But we will be returning to our bi-weekly format shortly enough, which will be nice.
Yeah, we feel that, right, Ben? We have to have a reaction video and a podcast episode every week. So that was pretty exhausting for us.
Well, and this week we were talking about, we realized that after we recorded our podcast last week, we're like, we just did a recording of something on a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we're like, wow, it's going to be kind of nice, like, to allude to what you were talking about earlier, that it's going to be kind of nice to have a break between this and the next show. So,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Danny, all right, your turn. You all ready? Let's do, what is your, where can the people find you on the internet?
Yes, you can find me on all the socials at Danny Fandoms. Maybe one day I'll get on Twitch. I hear that's pretty fun, right, Joey?
I think so. I've heard of the, what is it, Twitch? Ben, have you heard of Twitch?
I'm retired from Twitch.
I'm getting close to it as well. But again, thank you, Laura. Thank you, Danny, for talking today. It was a lot of fun. The links for our guests will be also in the show notes as well. So you can find Laura and Danny on the internet. Well, all the links that we'll have in the show notes.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks, Danny, for coming on. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having us, guys. This is great.
Well, what a wonderful two guests we had on today. Thank you again to Laura and Danny for being a part of today's episode. And we look forward to the next Jedi Knights of the Roundtable, the part 3 of that series. It's been fun, again, to kind of renew that after talking about it for a while. And glad to finally be able to do another episode with other members of the Star Wars community. So on next week's episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast, big surprise here, episode 91 is titled currently TBD. Yes, that's right. We are going to take the next day or two to figure out what next week's episode of the podcast is going to all be about. Typically, we release the podcasts on Thursday. More often than not, we record them on Wednesday. We're actually recording this episode on a Sunday, but we've kind of have not had the few extra days in there yet to sort of collaborate on what that topic will be for episode 91 of the pod. So keep an eye out for the YouTube community tab and the Hoth Hangout Twitter to perhaps learn ahead of time what the theme for episode 91 of the podcast will be. But once again, thank you to Laura and Danny for being a part of episode 90, Jedi Knights of the Round Table, part two in today's episode. It was really a blast. And let us know down in the comments down below if any of you have any Star Wars content creators who you'd like to see part of Jedi Knights of the Round Table episode 3. Feel free to post post those content creators information over on the socials of Hoth Hangout or in the comments of the video version of the podcast. As a reminder, if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of every podcast. All of the latest Star Wars reactions to the newest Star Wars shows are available there as well. Once again, check us out there. And thank you to the 447 of you who are currently subscribers to the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. Additionally, you can find us at Hoth Hangout at gmail.com. Shoot us your emails with your thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. The Hoth Hangout podcast is also findable wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the pod. We would appreciate it very much, and it does also allow it to be more easily discovered by other Star Wars fans as well. You can find Hoth Hangout on the socials, whether it be Instagram, TikTok, or X. We are at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. Additionally, the Hoth Hangout Discord server is findable in the show notes of today's episode as well. Check it out and see all that it has to offer. Love to see you guys over there. And that does it for today's episode, episode 90. It was a fun one getting a chance once again to have both Laura and Danny on with us, Joey. Any last thoughts on this is really our last big conversation on the Acolyte, more than likely for a while. Any closing thoughts on this show that was the Acolyte?
Oh, the Acolyte, what you could have been, what you were, everything about you. I'm confused. I loved it. I hated it. It was everything. It was fine. Acolyte was Star Wars. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the conversations we had, all the comments. I mean, this is probably, would you agree, Ben, probably the most commented show that we've ever, you know, reviewed over time. Just every reaction, every podcast episode, we've got, you know, comments over comments. You know, that, you know, Danny and Laura also mentioned some of the struggles they had to go through, all that. But, you know, we do enjoy the interaction. You know, it makes us kind of giggle here and there, but it was a lot of fun. One thing I did want to mention, though, is I forget that Laura is just a trivia whiz when it comes to Star Wars. We should probably go try to do
trivia with a guest.
Trivia with a guest and see how much she absolutely will annihilate us. She's actually gone. She's actually very, very good. So, but no, it was a lot of fun. You know, I can't wait till the next one. But like you said, you know, we record this on a Sunday and we've got the whole week to think about what we're going to do next week. So I'm excited to even try to figure out what to talk about that's not Acolyte related.
Yeah, to allude to the comment you made about the comments we receive, I think only in the last like 3 or 4 months, the only video we had ever received more than like 5 comments on was the episode of The Bad Batch that had Asajj Ventress in. I'm looking back now, and within the time that The Acolyte was coming out, we had, like, I think 6 videos that had at least 6 or more comments. So it's just, I mean, it shows you, like, how much people are passionate about this show.
Or
Star Wars in general, yeah. And some of that might be negative passion. But
it's
but
passion either way.
Yeah, but nonetheless, it brought eyes onto a show that, you know, was perhaps somewhat unsuccessful in its mission. Nonetheless, it was still an experience that I enjoyed getting to spend with you, watching these episodes together, and of course, getting to talk about them the day after with you and Gibbo, and today as well with our guests. So let us know for the final time, unless we get a season 2, what your thoughts were on the Acolyte. in conclusion of the show. I hesitate to even ask, but leave them down in the comments below. Lastly, thank you to Gibbo for producing today's show, video, and assets. Jumping around from camera to camera, screen to screen is a little bit tougher than usual even. So Gibbo, we want to say we appreciate you very much. And also, it is you, Gibbo, who understands time zones much better than Joey. Shout out to Gibbo, who woke up early in the morn to record this one over in Australia time.
I may have miscalculated the time zones once again, and I told him the wrong time. But luckily, he was awake. So, Gibbo, thank you again. And I swear to God, I'm going to figure it out one day.
Well, once again, thank you to our two wonderful guests we had on today, both Laura and Danny. We look forward to Jedi Knights of the Roundtable Episode 3 and to Episode 91 of the Hoth Hangout Podcast next week. Shout out to George Lucas. Shout out to Dave Filoni. Shout out to the show that was The Acolyte. What a memorable and oftentimes roller coaster of experience it was. Wouldn't have done it any differently. So glad to have you all here with us. Yeah, maybe. glad to have you all here with us along for the ride. We'll catch you all in episode 91 of the Hoth Hangout podcast. And once again, may the Force be with you.